You ever have dairy-free ice cream?
Yes.
Yeah, is it ice cream, though?
It's disgusting.
It's not ice cream.
Some of it is good.
Like, okay, name the brand. What's Halo. Good? Halo.
Halo Top.
Oh, you know what? I gotta admit that Halo's not that bad.
It's good.
Exactly.
But I gotta go to the law of opposite. It's not that good.
Okay, have you tried the Trader Joe's?
Yeah, it's good for being a non-dairy ice cream.
Okay, that's fair.
But it's not a good ice cream.
Last night, Kaylon at our house made these desserts.
Oh.
They are, you know, it's every health ingredient
yeah.
you could ever imagine. The most tasty thing in it was a strawberry and a raspberry. Oh. And I just tried to imagine the night before, well, two nights ago, Sunday night, you know, you guys know I'm a McFlurry guy. I mean, it's on the wall. But yes. I'm a McFlurry guy.
Yeah.
Every Sunday night. Sunday night, I needed my dessert. I needed my fix. It's how I end Sunday nights. So I had a chia pudding with blueberries in it.
What a texture.
It's just, guys, at this point, it's just all sad.
I don't even like chia pudding for breakfast.
Well, the way you said breakfast was sensational.
You figured out that you don't eat breakfast. You just drink tea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's mostly true, I guess.
Yeah. My point is, all of these, you know, you go to Air One or Whole Foods and, like, these supplement desserts. It's just like not having any fun, isn't it?
Why does it cost more to taste worse?
Yeah, because they've had to use all these ingredients.
Processes.
Yeah, and, like, you look at all the detail of it. It's like, gosh, you guys worked really hard to create something that, like, has zero value.
Dang.
Like, the product is so bad. Like,
truly.
But you know what I keep on noticing is, like, people's jawlines. It's like people look snatched when they eat right, and they're all healthy, and their carrots and their celery lifestyle and kale. It's like that's what you kind of got to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
The only problem with putting the work is that you have to sweat and eat healthy. And that, guys, let's be honest, who wants to do that?
Yeah. Mm.
When you can cough up a storm. When
you could just get sick and not eat. It's fine. Just cough constantly,
right?
It's not a big deal.
I'm sorry.
No, I just think that it's, you know, I'm looking at a photo here of my son. And he's having, look at this picture, this handsome devil. And he's gobbling up. You think there's any health involved in this ice cream?
Zero.
It's like a blue, this is in El Segundo.
Yeah, that color looks just like they went out of their way to make it worse for you.
The color. Has calories. The color has
looks
calories.
Looks great.
It's unbelievable. We have, for us, another 5 more days. Is that right? 5
yes.
whole days until the fast is over. And I think I said this last episode, did I not? I'm not ending.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a man of God. You guys know this about me. I'm a man of God.
Right.
Why would I break the fast and go right into our conference?
Yeah, no.
A live leadership lean in lunch.
Whoa.
Where I've just been having pizzas and ice cream.
Oh, God.
And hamburgers and french fries.
That's so good.
And you should break it at the lunch.
No, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break it Saturday afternoon.
Mm. Yeah.
Saturday afternoon. I'm thinking like
glorious
prime pizza.
Yes.
Juiced a sandwich.
Oh.
All of my social media is food right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's insane. I just sent Julia earlier a video of Nate's a big cougher over here.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Can't stop coughing. you know, I just sent Julia this video of this guy, the top 5 sandwiches he had last year in 2023.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, they look off the charts.
Mm. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I can't even stomach how good it looks. I'm gonna endure these next. Well, you guys are at 5 because you're not on my level.
Right. That's exactly true.
I've got about 8 or 9 days and then it's off to the races.
Amen.
But I feel like I'll be leading better. It's kind of like that story about Andy Stanley when he stopped drinking coffee. Over you ever heard a story?
And their team's
and his team came to him and said, "Hey, Pastor Andy, would you
please continue?
Would you start drinking coffee again?" And he goes, "Why? Oh, your energy's off." Uh-huh. You know, like you're not bringing energy to the meetings.
But you're not a low energy guy.
I am not. Leaners, hear me. We're gonna jump into content, but just know this: about I'm not a low energy guy.
No.
If I ever brought low energy, I would die.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my biggest fear is to be a low energy guy, just an Eeyore of a fella, just a lump on a log.
I'm trying to remember what you were like when you did give up coffee.
Oh, that was so. Oh, gosh. That was a couple years ago.
High energy irritation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nate's like, it's seared in my
not
memory.
Good. Hit the Nick Saban. This is what happened.
You all may be taking the week off, but I'm not.
That's how I sounded in every email, text, meeting, just ticked off. But I will hit Craig Rochelle.
Well, the habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow.
Whew, that's how I feel right now, just sharp.
Really good.
That man right there, are you kidding me?
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. I was going to say the same thing.
That guy's lethal. He's not even. All right, let's jump into it. Let's get it. It's unbelievable. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Leadership Lean In, where we lean back. Kidding. We lean in and do the rock away. We are trying to get a little bit better. We cannot. It's impossible. We're not going to promise perfection. That would just be futile. But what we are going to promise is progress. Mm-hmm. As always, promised and delivered progress. Thank you to every person that is liking, subscribing. In fact, all the YouTubers, hit the subscribe button. Help us. Comment even the pod, share the pod. Thank you for everybody that, so many people are so kind, they post it and they share it and they go, you gotta listen to this, or they put a 10 out of 10 and unbelievable. You put out a clip today, April, from the last one that you aired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going crazy.
The content.
On the shares. No, it's the editing.
Oh.
It is not what's being spoken, April.
It doesn't matter what.
Yeah, actually, it could just be. Well, thanks.
It's the font.
Next time, we'll just do a video of, like, I don't know, a meeting, and we'll see if it's my editing.
No, honestly, I just looked a minute ago. I was like, oh, wow.
It's great.
Crushing. We are very excited about all things. Obviously, we're starting off the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting for us, and we want to make sure everybody knows next week. Sorry, when this airs today. Mm-hmm. Today
yes. Oh.
Is the day. Tonight starts our Zoe conference.
That's
and
crazy.
I want to let you know tomorrow you have an opportunity in Los Angeles, California to come do a live recording of Leadership Lean In. Leadership Lean In Live. Special guest Earl McClellan. Get on a train, plane, automobile, do whatever you got to do. We're kicking off things tonight at the heralded, great, notorious Angeles Temple. And then tomorrow, Leadership Lean In Live. Do not miss it. Do whatever you got to do. Get a ticket. It's going to be sensational. And there's something special. The last time that we had a Leadership Lean In Live together was Chris Durso here at the
That's
office.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
100th episode. Mm-hmm. To be specific, 43 episodes ago.
Yes. That's correct.
And now we're doing another one. It's going to be off the charts. And remember, all these people came together for that.
Right.
Flew in and hung out.
That's crazy.
Hayden from Vegas. Our friends from Houston. Ray Ramsey from Alabama. I mean, just people flew in from all Bakersfield. And so we're coming together tomorrow. Leadership Lean In Live. Lunch. A lot of L's. Do not take an L and miss. We're coming together.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break from our Leadership Lean In podcast and shout out one of our sponsors. Shout out to Overflow. Head over to overflow.co to get everything you need to empower your organization and fundraiser for the most creative and innovative ways to receive giving and to empower your people to give in innovative ways. This is what I love about Overflow. Two things. The first one, I shout it out every time because I'm just blown away by their customer service, by their team, by their support. It's amazing. But number two, how easy their platform is to use. And if you want to empower your people to give, not just cash or in traditional ways, people are getting creative. It's 2024.
Yeah.
They can give in all sorts of ways, crypto, they can give stocks, there's all sorts of different ways. So head over to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo and to get connected with their team.
Okay, this week. I'm stuck and I can't get out.
Oof.
There used to be a commercial, it was the clapper, and the famous line was, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, that's not the clapper.
Wasn't that Life Alert?
That's Life Alert.
Right clapper. When I said it, I was thinking.
I'm like, clapper?
Clapper was the light.
Yeah, I suddenly was like, oh, I must be thinking of something else. The clapper.
Right when I said it, I was like, I don't think you're right. I don't think you're.
But the confidence was there.
I don't think that this is. When you just talk, you just start saying
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like it's factual. Like it's biblical gold.
Two iconic ads, though. Yes.
Okay, okay. Yeah, both were very effective to a degree.
Yes.
I've fallen. I can't. What did you say was the
product? Life Alert.
Life Alert. I've fallen. And I can't get up. I think, you know, leadership, there is those that fall, you know, they fall into, you know, you name the fall. I'm sure your imagination goes to all kinds of, you know, when we say the word, they fell. It's like, okay, usually it's one of three things, the gold, the girls, the glory. That's kind of usually, you know,
yep.
There's a fall there. Okay. But what I think happens to most leaders, they don't fall. They get stuck.
Hmm.
And getting stuck's hard. Getting stuck is because you know that you've hit your ceiling, and you're like, I would do anything to raise my ceiling. Hmm. But I'm stuck, and I can't get up. I can't get out. I cannot figure this out. And so I want to give you three things today that might encourage you to move forward. You're going to have to, you know, obviously when you get stuck, get a pen and a paper, write down a lot. I believe in this habit. I call it a brain dump. I do it quite often, a few times a week. I just dump out my brain and all my thoughts and the categories that I've created of my life. That's how I preach. I take the subject and I just brain dump. I think whenever I'm stuck, I just kind of start writing what's stuck. Why do I feel that? Identify. Give it a name, deflate, you know, the taunting, you know, Goliath that's going like, you're never going to be better. It's never going to change. You got to kind of identify what's going on here. So I'll give you three things. Number one is you need to communicate your expectations. And I think this becomes very big because a lot of times when I'm stuck, I'm feeling I'm stuck with people that are around me, my team. It's first of all with me, and then it goes into our eco, our world, our, you know, who we're working with. And I love this quote that I found: unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. Mm-hmm. Unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments. And I just like that because a lot of times we're carrying so much resentment and we're hurt and we're upset and we're frustrated. But I'm always like, do they know what you expect?
Right, yeah.
Do the people around me know? I always think leadership is easy in the sense where I've got to set parameters, boundaries, visions, and values and standards. And then I just police the culture because the culture or the vision or the expectations this is what I love about God. God already did this for us. God already said, these are my expectations. These are the commandments or boundaries that I want you to. So God's not going like, oh, I'm so frustrated, but man, I wish I could tell you the truth of what I really wanted you to do.
Yeah.
No, God just, he tells you. And so I think that so much leadership is communication. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be a great leader and be a bad communicator. I don't care if you communicate best over text, over email, in person, you got to find ways. And by the way, we communicate in so many ways.
Yeah.
We communicate with our body language. We communicate with how we dress and our attire and how we take care of ourselves. You're sending so many signals of what you're about. It's so funny. I you know, Erin Andrews' podcast. Have you seen her and that other girl? That's like they're both sideline reporters. Carissa Thompson, I think, is the other one. And they were talking about how hard it is to find a guy, you know, and social media cringe. And they were saying, you know, when they go to social media, they kind of tell what kind of guy it is.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, if he's posting selfies, we don't want any part of it.
No part.
Think about that. Selfies used to be cool. Now these girls are going, if you post selfies, you communicated something to me that I want no part.
Yep.
So you're always in the communicate. I think leadership is being in sales.
Yeah.
You're in the people business. Right. You're selling. For me, I'm selling a higher product, which is not me.
Mm.
I know that my life is I'm an ambassador. I represent someone bigger than myself. But nevertheless, I want to represent him really well.
That's right.
So I do everything I can to make sure I'm a good representative
yeah.
of the brand that I'm about or the person that I'm trying to sell, right? I think you got to communicate like crazy. It's true. People do not know 100% of what you're not saying.
So good.
So well, everything,
say it again.
Everything that you're not saying, people don't know.
Yeah.
So they only know what you communicate. So if you got all these expectations and desires and wants and frustrations, if you're not saying it, how do you expect people to excel? How do you expect to have good relationships? I think a lot of times we have these premeditated resentments and we don't understand we're the problem, not them. You go into cultures and you marvel, how did they get all these great leaders? Great leaders are not found. Great leaders are developed.
Yeah.
And you develop people. You develop those that are around you. How do you do that? You talk to them. You communicate with them. You hold people responsible, or another word for that is accountable. But I cannot have unspoken expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I find that the most frustrated people are going like, they, how come, so-and-so. And I'm like, did you tell them what you expected?
Right.
Because a lot of times, if you tell people, I expect you to be here at 8, generally they come at 8.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell people, I want you to have your camera on, generally if you told them, they would have their camera on. You have to, that's a Zoom joke for our 6 a.m. prayer people. You understood it right away. No shots fired. I didn't expect. I didn't expect.
It's okay.
This next round, you better get ready for August. But you know, but does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, think about the power of premeditated resentment.
Do you think that? Sorry.
No, no.
Do you think that that's how cultures become maybe hyper obsessed over a leader versus a vision?
Mm.
Is the leader doesn't communicate the vision well, or the goal, or their expectation. So now the whole organization is trying to please this imaginary, or what they think, they're shooting in the dark, going like, I hope this is what they want to do well, versus yes. This is the vision.
Guessing.
So we're, yeah.
That's exactly right. Because how could I be empowered without you giving me vision?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this is, again, Jesus is the greatest leader we've ever seen. Mm. He is so good. Watch what he does. I'm sending you out by the twos. This is exactly what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they come back and they go, we saw some. Yeah, because he carried his vision.
Yep.
So I think leadership is about being very good at finding ways to take the vision off the walls and putting it into people's hearts.
Mm.
And I think that it's hard for, if we're being honest, leader, it's very hard for you to communicate your expectations because you think that you won't attract or you won't, people won't rise to your expectations. Maybe you feel like your expectations are too high or unreasonable. I don't know a great leader that has small expectations.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Wow.
They just don't. You think Nick Saban has small expectations?
No, come on.
How you win championships with small expectations.
Right.
And anybody, any leader is like, oh, shucks, you know, I don't want to be hard on people and I just want to make it easy and I just, you know, that's a lot of hours, that's a lot of work, and you are apologizing for the vision that's in your heart.
Hmm.
How are we going to move forward if you're going to live with a bunch of resentment?
Yep.
So if you're stuck, maybe it's not them that's stuck, maybe it's your ability to communicate your expectations and your ability furthermore to be at peace and at rest with the God-given potential that's on your life. It's bigger than you think it is. It's a bigger dream. So we got to communicate. The second thing is you need to sharpen your edge. And I love this idea. I love this thought about being sharp. I think if you're a leader, you should be sharp. I went the other day, I went out to Malibuya and I took Winston with me to go see the great coach RJ Barsh, who is now, shout out 253, who is now coaching for Gonzaga. And so they were playing Pepperdine versus Gonzaga. And my buddy who's coaching for him hit me, you want to come? And I was like, I absolutely want to see you and support. So I drove out there to Malibuya. The dumb decision here. I thought, you know, game's at 7, I can leave my house at 5.
Hmm.
I'm not going to, PCH is going to be a breeze going that way. what? Am I new here? Sat on the PCH. My total miscalculation. Let's communicate our expectations a little bit better next time.
Traffic.
Insane. Get out there and just like, I've always loved this guy. Has gone, he was the head coach at SEU. Then he went to Boise State. Then he went to Florida State. Now he's at Gonzaga. And you just see him carry himself with such excellence. Sharpness. I think you ought to be known being sharp. It's that whole like, for us in our world, it's like, I want to have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Know what's going on in the world. I'm really, you know, astute and really, you know, comfortable and literate with my craft and what I'm supposed to do. And but sharpness to me is just like, it's what's in your eyes.
Yeah.
It's the authority of your voice. It's the moxie and the prowess and the confidence you carry. It's going like, this person plays no games. They're not the sharpest tool in the shed, but they're sharp. And I think you've got to find a way to sharpen your edge. The reason why most leaders are not sharp is because their edge has grown dull.
Hmm.
Why is their edge grown dull? Because they've been using their axe.
Hmm.
And so if you want to be great at what you do, you got to not keep swinging. You got to sharpen your edge. Great. Sharpen that axe.
It's great.
I heard this great quote from Abraham Lincoln recently. And he said, if you gave me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first 4 hours sharpening my blade and the next 2 hours cutting down the tree.
Amazing.
And that's putting preparation over performance.
Yep.
I think a lot of times a leader thinks about their performance, but I think leadership is thinking about your preparation.
Wow.
Preparation is where your separation begins. In fact, you know, it's that whole saying, we sweat in preparation so we don't bleed in battle.
Yeah.
In fact, I think preparation brings forth freedom. When you're prepared, you're free to be yourself. Right. You're free to be comfortable. You're free to take meetings. You know, I do my best to be prepared for where I need to go. In fact, if I'm traveling somewhere, you know, let's take New Orleans. I just recently went to New Orleans. I like to look. I want to go through the itinerary. I want to know where I'm at moment to moment. I look at the church I'm going to go to and the photos and maybe the last couple messages and go through, stalk their Instagram. I like to look at the hotel. I always look at my hotel. Where am I staying? I like to look at, like, you know, what is the restaurants there and the pool? And I like to know my surrounding. What are the restaurants around it? I like to visualize and be prepared because I think that's what makes me sharp.
Yeah.
I don't like being around people. Where are we? What are we doing? Hit me with the Michael Scott.
Pearly worm gets the worm.
You don't got a clue what you're saying. No, sharpen your edge. What? So the question here, leader, is what makes you sharp? What is it that makes that, you know, is it having a conversation with a close friend? Is it, it's a cocktail of great things. It's a cocktail of right decisions. That just makes you sharp. It's just like going to bed early, eating the right diet, reading the right stuff, having a disciplined life, doing the stuff that just makes you feel alive. And if you're dull right now, maybe it's just because you've been swinging that axe.
Mm.
Maybe it's not because you're a bad leader. Maybe you don't have a day off. You're not. Maybe you need to take a nap. Maybe whatever you got to do, get sharp. Don't you love when you're around a sharp leader?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. It makes you step up your game.
Right. That's it.
Exactly.
And you see someone that's sharp, you know it.
Yeah.
It's so funny in LA. You know, someone comes into a coffee shop and then they walk out. Everybody goes, who was that?
Yeah.
Right. 100%.
You think they say that about some Eeyore, some dude that just rolled out of bed? You know, no title. No, we don't know the name. It's the way they walk. It's the way they conduct their business. I think that, to me, we know that leadership is not a title. It's not a position. It's not a corner office. Leadership's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so put the investment into you, because the more you invest into you, the greater blessing you will become, the greater leader you become.
Yeah.
And the sharper your team needs you to be sharp.
That's right.
your team needs you to be rested and ready and prepared and focused and not distracted. I love this concept. I love this idea of how much is it going to take for you to not be distracted? You got to ask yourself that question. How much is it going to take for you to not be distracted?
That's great.
Because there's a price there. Distraction comes with a price tag. And focus does too. So what do I got to do? What do I got to give up to be focused? It's why I'm going to continue my fast.
Yeah, great. Smart.
Right? Because I know is a price. Focus comes with a price.
That's right.
And I'm willing to pay the price. But come Saturday afternoon, then we're not willing to pay that price no more.
Amen.
You pay the piper.
Did you ever grow up chopping wood?
Of course.
In Washington? Yeah, I remember growing up chopping wood, and eventually the axe would get dull, and it would, like, I wouldn't be able to split the wood. It would become a hammer.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of leaders, when they're not sharp, they just start smashing things. They get angry. They get irritated. How come things aren't so
it's not working.
Efficient? You know, and it's like, if you want to move this thing forward, if you're angry, it's probably just because you haven't been around sharp. You haven't sharpened your – you haven't rested. Yeah. You haven't, know.
And I think there's nothing worse than just, you keep hitting that piece of wood, just bouncing off.
Gosh.
And it's counterintuitive, right? Because we think swing harder.
Right.
That's our natural, 2 + 2 = 4. Swing harder. Right. Work harder.
Right.
Can I ask you, do you think you really can work harder than you're working right now? I don't think that you can. You're working as hard as you can. So it's not a work ethic. Right? It's finding the right balance to get you rest and to get you confidence and to get you a sense of belonging and a sense of acceptance so that you're feeling like, man, I really am confident in what I'm doing.
Yep.
And that's when results don't define you.
Yeah.
Because you're more excited about the work than the results of the work. Mm. I think that when you're not sharp, you're so focused on results.
Yeah.
But when you are sharp, you're just like, the work is so fun.
Yeah.
I love swinging this axe.
Yeah.
I love doing what I'm doing. Here's the last one, third one, is you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both.
Yeah.
I'm stuck because of them. I'm stuck because of the recession. I'm stuck because of the interest rate. No. You can make excuses. Or you can make progress, but you cannot make both.
Yeah.
And so that's why I am fully convinced that leadership is extreme ownership.
Right. Yeah.
Just owning. Like, it's me high all the way from Buffalo. I'm the problem. I'm just, well, they were not the problem there. They
actually.
Did you see Jason Kelce? That was pretty cool.
Oh, it was amazing.
What a brother.
Yeah.
And he jumps in, he grabs that this girl, so brings good. Her. Shout out to New Heights. I mean, these guys are just on New Heights. but I like this idea that the privilege I have is to accept responsibility and to take ownership and going, it's stuck because of me.
Right.
Yeah. It's not stuck because of the team or because of my schedule or because of our budget. It's stuck because of me. I haven't been able to figure it out. I haven't been able to get this done. And I just kind of like that because it's rather than playing that victim mentality that something happened to me. I think it's better as a leader to go, something's going on in me that I got to fix. I got to resolve. I got to heal. I got to solve. I got to get more wisdom. I got to get greater exposure. I got to get a greater vision, a greater dream. That's the real problem.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who kind of swings the other side of the pendulum in that they think everything is their fault, I'm so guilty, I'm the worst, I struggle, which would be kind of like a more on the other side. What would you say to help kind of, because I think that that would be a lot of leaders, a lot of people are maybe overthinking that. Where would you draw the line between identifying variables in a situation and taking ownership?
That's such a good question. I think it goes back to the brain dump. Because I do think that there's sometimes you can identify, okay, where are other people at fault? Where are other people? I need to help them grow. But I think it always starts with me. Leadership starts with me. Leadership always starts with me. So I like to first just go like, what can I fix? What can I do better? Where did I fail? Where did I not communicate my expectation? And then get to other people and go, okay, I see here, maybe with them we could try this, maybe with this person, but it might be good to develop here. Let's put a focus of this in this season. So I do think that there is, I mean, come on, in everything moderation, in everything moderation. So I don't want to beat myself up, because then it's kind of the whole thing, if you live by the praise, you'll die by the criticism. Mm. I don't wear a cape. I'm not a superhero.
Yeah.
So I have great limitations, and I'm only as good as the people around me. But I do like starting with going, like, what could I have done better?
Yeah. Well, I think extreme ownership kind of assumes extreme self-awareness.
Yeah, that's
good. When you have extreme self-awareness, you go, ah, this is the end of my capability.
Yeah.
Now, great. I need a team.
That's great.
And so owning, yep, I got to get better here, so let's hire, you know, those weaknesses as I develop.
That's it.
Right.
Because I think, you know, getting stuck is a frustrating feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, oh man, why is it not working? That blade's not just bouncing off that wood, and man, I want to push the lid. Okay, well, you're trying as hard as you can. Clearly, to raise your lid, you need to raise your capacity. We got to increase your capacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of times when you increase your capacity, it's not about what you're saying yes to, it's about what you say no to.
It's great.
Your no becomes more powerful than your yes. But then after that, you figure out your life. It's about getting the right people around you.
Yep.
And identifying for them. It's the whole value for me is growing with an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you see an organization grow and someone hasn't evolved and changed and developed with it. And so now the organization's here, but this person's back in. So they're in, let's use iPhone, they're in iteration 15. And this person, for some reason, got stuck at iteration 5.
Hmm.
And so can you redeem that? Can you call up? Can you help them? Can you identify that? I think that's a part of what a leader has to do. I think it always starts with going, like, did this thing with its momentum pass me up?
Right.
And my gifting? Mm-hmm. Am I even with this iteration? And if I'm stuck in the organization, because usually if you're the leader, it's a reflection of you,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
If you're doing good, usually it's doing good.
Yep.
If you're not, usually, unless there's crazy circumstances that are beyond your control.
Yeah.
COVID, right?
Right.
People leaving your state to go to Austin and Coeur d'Alene and Florida and in Nashville. That's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So some of that you have to identify.
Yeah, exactly.
But outside of a worldwide pandemic that affects for 3 or 4 years, outside of that, you've got to take extreme ownership and figure out the best. I just like that better than trying to make excuses.
Yeah.
Of going like, well, what was this? And it was that. And it was them. And it was mom. No, just how can I get, I got to get better.
Right. And I think that even when there are things in your world that are maybe smaller than a pandemic, but are still out of your control, it's that mindset of this is not my fault, but it is my responsibility.
That's right. That's right. It's my responsibility, and it's my responsibility to be the best, healthiest version of me, because it's not just that I'm owed that. The other people in my world are owed that. And how could I expect anybody to follow me if I'm not?
Mm.
You know, and that's why I just like that idea. Leadership starts with me. It starts with making sure I'm, you know, very cheesy. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. How could I ask you to change your ways if I'm not trying to change my ways? And so I like that you're stuck, but you're not going to stay stuck. You're going to evolve. You're going to grow. You're going to change. You're going to lift your lid, and you're going to step into your God-given potential. We're with you. We're for you. Let's go.
Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.